The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome one, welcome all to the greatest show of them all. This is the NFC East mixtape, or as some people are calling it, the NFC East mix tight because of the tie that we got last week. We cover the entire division here. That. You can listen to us on any one of the four NFC East blog podcast networks at SB Nation, Bleeding Green Nation for Philadelphia Eagles coverage, Blog of the Boys for Dallas Cowboys, Big Blue View for New York Giants, or Hogs Haven for Washington Commanders. You can also watch us on the Bleeding Green Nation YouTube channel or Blog of the Boys YouTube channel. We will cover every single team in the division, including the tie that we saw, a first in the history of the mixtape. He is Brandon Lee Gotten from BGN. I am RJ Ochoa from BTB. Brandon, the NFC East mixtape. There we go.
More like the NFC Beast mixtape, which, you know, we got a lot of feedback from the listeners about how we did not actually invent the NFC Beast.
They're all wrong.
The NFC Least. It's, I mean, why would we lie to you? Do we ever lie to the listeners and say things that aren't true? Do we ever do that?
Nobody ever said NFC Beast or you keep missing this or NFC Least.
I just said that
before we did. No, but I'm saying, like, we want full credit for both, right? Not just one, not just Beast because the division's awesome right now. We want full credit for both. We're the first people to ever say that ever in the history of the internet.
Everyone's like, no, yeah. It used to exist. No, it didn't. It didn't.
The NFC East mixed type. We did have, so this season has been filled with all sorts of
things.
It sounds
like you're doing an Australian accent when you say that.
I've read this before. Try to say the words good, like something's good, the word I, like one of your eyes, and then mate, like a partner. Say those words together. Good eye mate.
I feel like this is a trap. I'm not gonna do it.
I'm not like tricking you into like getting canceled or something, but try that. Like try good eye mate.
No, you do it.
Good eye mate. You can't you can't say that without sounding like you're doing an Australian accent.
Good
eye mate.
Like I.
But you got yeah. Say it like normally at normal speed.
Good, I meet.
Well, you know what? This is podcasting, so someone can go back and then like 1.5 speed you, and it will sound like you're actually participating in the exercise.
All right. Anyway,
So this season has been insane. We launched the NFC's mixtape last year, and the Dallas Cowboys won the division in kind of a ho-hum way. Like, yes, the Eagles made the playoffs, but you know the Commanders or the football team at the time and the Giants were just kind of whatever. This year, everybody's amazing. This year, everything is awesome. We had a trade to the division in Carson Wentz that spearheaded the first ever emergency edition of the mixtape. Right. That was back in the offseason. Now we have the first tie ever. And it does feel, Brandon, like the world is kind of coming in. Everyone wants a piece of this mixtape right now.
I guess. I mean, the listeners do, for sure. The listeners who respect how...
And you know what, listeners? If you want something more, like I've said this before, Cowboys and Eagles meeting on Christmas Eve, we should do some sort of Christmas spectacular extravaganza, you know, fest, whatever you want to call it. Hit up Michael Kist. He is the boss at Michael Kist NFL. Annoy him, pester him.
What's he gonna tell do, him you what want, do you want some... him to do? What's he gonna?
I don't know. I'm not in the meetings. Kist is in at work. I mean, you know, I'm on some inferior meetings.
No, I mean, we've done a live show without him. So like,
no, but we got to run it up the flagpole. So you have to annoy Kist, everybody. Tell him you want some special Christmas graphics. I don't know what goes into this. Again, Kist is up on Mount Pius. Like, I'm not there. You know what I mean? I'm just here. We live in this territory. We have to do something special for that. I just saw right now as we are recording, we're recording on Tuesday at 11 a.m. Central Time, just for full disclosure. On the rerun of Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager, they were talking the storyline that they are obsessed with right now, and his was the Eagles and the Cowboys, with the Jimmy Garoppolo injury to our friend Rob Stats-Guerrera's San Francisco 49ers. More than ever, it does feel like this conference is going to come down to one of these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the 49ers are dead and buried by any means.
For sure. But that's a lot of wind out of there.
Yeah, their ceiling is absolutely lower. Their margin for error, as Kyle Posey put it, I believe, on Monday Football Monday with you guys, I think that's the right way to frame it. Like, they still have a path because their defense is really freaking good and they have talented playmakers and everything, and the coaching staff can kind of do more with lesser quarterbacks. So yeah, I would not like rule them out. I'd not put them a 0% chance by any means, but sure. Eagles and Cowboys now certainly look like the two favorites, because no one's taking the Vikings seriously, RJ, except you.
Can I say one thing? Sure. Can I say one thing on the Vikings? I told you in stats this in our Slack chat. So I very famously was in on them, picked them to win the Super Bowl. They are very good, but
no, they're
this
not,
isn't
though.
How I, they're not. But no, like they're very good in an objective way. Like, you know what I mean? Like their record and you know what I mean?
Their
they're going to be a playoff team.
They're
going to win
their
division. Right. So that's all I'm saying. I foresaw them being good, but not like this, they feel worse than the team I thought they could be. I don't know if that makes sense. So, they have gotten here in absolutely like no way that I envisioned for them. So I feel fraudulent because I thought they were very good. And they are worse than I thought, but I did not think they'd be 10-2. Like, I thought they'd kind of be cute and hovering around. So it's very, strong internal conflict.
In case the listeners didn't see, because I already sent this to you, but Shiel Kapadia, good friend, tweeted out, in the past 20 years, there have been 53 teams with 10 wins or more through the first 13 weeks of the season. And from that group, the Vikings plus 10-point differential is dead last. It's 53rd, and like by a wide margin. So no other team was worse than plus 36. So there's a 26-point difference there. And I mean, just look at it from a perspective of the Vikings have gotten like easily beaten, dominated basically by both the teams we're talking about in their way, the Eagles and the Cowboys. Can the Vikings maybe beat one of those teams in the playoffs? I wouldn't bet on it, but maybe. Can they beat both and get to the Super Bowl? Probably not. Or the 49ers. I don't even really trust them against them. So, yeah, I do think it comes down to Eagles, Cowboys here. Again, there's like the 1% chance that Tom Brady just somehow turns it on and it's Tom Brady and he goes on an amazing postseason run. But again, also not counting on that. But I can't also say it's 0%. But yeah, should be good, which is it's an interesting layout for the rest of the season, RJ, because obviously the Eagles are up right now. They have the more favorable path to getting that number one seed. But if they slip up and then, they lose.
They have control. They have control within the conference. If they slip up, then it's Minnesota's control. Mm-hmm. If a few things go another way, it's Dallas's control. They are sitting in the driver's seat right now. I don't want to cut you off, but this does kind of segue us into, Philadelphia's last game, which you mentioned Monday Football Monday. I said on that show that I think it was the most impressive win that Philly has had all season. Sure. I don't know if the Titans agree. But I don't know if you've seen this. As we're recording, the Tennessee Titans have fired general manager John Robinson.
Wow, holy crap.
What
the hell? Are you kidding me? Oh, no, my gosh.
I'm being 100% serious with you.
I mean...
AJ Brown got the ultimate revenge. Like, there is no revenge sweeter. And a very talented general manager, like, has assembled a very strong team. I think Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of credit, obviously, for what the Titans have accomplished, obviously, over the years. And this isn't the AFC South mixtape, so we don't have to get into this. But I didn't, like, in my power rankings on Tuesday, I didn't drop the Titans. I think I left them at 10 or 11 because they got destroyed by the Eagles. Mm-hmm. But I think the Eagles are a very good team. I still think highly of the Titans. I'm a little bit disappointed in them in multiple ways, but that they couldn't kind of go toe to toe or even one toe to toe with the Eagles. But still, I mean, this is really weird for them to fire him like out of nowhere. Well, after we've said many times, on the NFL show, their losses are very understandable. Sure. I mean, they lost to the Giants, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals, and now the Eagles, all playoff teams.
I mean, the AJ Brown trade is a tough look for him, especially after he went off on Sunday.
Can't believe stats supported that.
Never,
shame.
Never, I know, and you too. Robinson never had a losing season as GM. Like, think about that. He's getting fired. But yeah, that was a disaster of a trade. Like, how do you not? it just doesn't make any sense. He's 24. Pay him. Like, it's a good, it's not like they had to pay him some crazy contract. And what are you doing with that money? What are you really doing with that money you saved that is so great and is so worth it? Like, it was a terrible decision. It was a steal. It was a big steal by the Eagles to get him. You don't, players of that caliber and that age, again, only like 24 and everything right. like that, they don't become, that's not like a normal thing that becomes available. The Eagles were able to pounce on like a very unique opportunity. So credit to Howie Roseman for taking advantage of that. But yeah, I mean, so back to the point about the Titans. I don't think this game was about, because I think some games are sometimes about the one team losing, maybe then the other team winning. You know what I mean? Is that fair to say? Right. Sometimes you just...
Like the Eagles win against the Colts, as an example.
They just shoot themselves in the foot so much. Yeah. And then, but like with this game, I don't think it was like the Titans. The Titans didn't turn the ball over. No. Like they didn't like shoot themselves in the foot all game long. Like the Eagles just beat them. The Titans, really tough team, came to town. That line dropped to 4 points the night like before the game. It was opened up at 6.5. Eagles were 6.5 favorites. So everyone was like betting on the Titans, thinking they were going to make it a close game. Not even, the game.
Well, it made sense. Like their MO, like it made sense for them to like hang at the very least, like be respectable.
Right. But that's why it's so much more impressive for the Eagles, because they did not. The game was really never close. It was tied at one point early on. Right. But that was like a very long drive that kind of got aided by some Eagles penalties and things. And it took like a lot for the Titans to even get there. It was not like an impressive drive. And it was the only touchdown drive of the game early on. And then after that, defense totally shut them down. Offense had their way. An offense that was able to run the ball so much, and there was some kind of talk like, oh, well, they can't just do this all the time. They're going to have to pass it, which was silly to me because the Eagles did pass it plenty earlier this season and looked really good doing that. But they just had a historic passing day. Jalen Hurts almost had 400 yards. He probably would have if they didn't pull the starters basically in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, it was a dominant performance. It was exactly what the doctor called for after a little bit of a slip up there against the Texans and Colts and Packers and whatever.
I said, like I said on Monday Football Monday, that this was the most impressive win of the season in my mind for the Eagles, because we said actually on Friday that this was maybe the best quarterback that they were facing in terms of like the level that the quarterbacks are playing at the week that the Eagles caught them. And you know, I don't think like stymieing Ryan Tannehill is like a shock, but the Eagles were kind of teetering. Like, I know they blew out the Packers, and so I'm not here to say, like, that game, like, they barely won that game. But that game did get kind of close, did get kind of cute. Like, still, you know, certainly an improvement on the previous 2 weeks with the Colts win and the Commanders loss. But, you know, this was returning much closer to form, you know, the original form, pre-Commanders loss. And I thought that was really impressive to do that against this team at home. So you have whatever. But still, like, this was a rout. Like, this was a party. This was a great, like, welcome back day, like you said, just kind of a perfect sort of step into this 3-game road trip, because that's what it is. You needed a great launching point. You got that. And I do think there's something to building confidence in terms of every, and like I can tell you, it's really frustrating. It's like, come on, somebody trip up the Eagles, somebody trip up the Vikings. But no, like, and I'll give Minnesota that credit too. Well, like, I know that they're barely winning these games, but still, like, I do think there's a point of, they are winning them.
Yeah, but you know, that's not sustainable. You don't go 9-0 in one score games. You just don't.
They're going to be such a hit pick to regress hard next year, right? Like, we're going to hear that. We're going to hear that 1,000 times in the offseason. Like, well, look at the record of one score games.
It might get to the point where it's too much.
Right. But so super impressive win. I do think, like, I already ate my crow on the AJ Brown thing. Like, that there's something badass to, like, I want to own this team. The only thing that I thought was slightly funny was after the game when he was like, look, I don't want to talk about that. What do you mean, AJ? Like, you've spent the whole like time since you were traded, like dragging them, tweeting like while they're playing. Like, and so like, yeah. I kind of wanted him to own it and like not go full villain, but go like lean all the way into it. But other than that, I mean, like Devontae went off, just a great Jalen Hurts game. And with the Kansas City Chiefs loss, I do think that Hurts took a very, very positive step forward in the MVP race, if you care about those things.
I was just gonna interestingly, ask you about him. Yeah.
Well, I do. It's right today. I mean, it obviously changes week to week.
Like, sure. The NFL's a week to week league, Brandon.
It's Josh Allen and Hurts. And like Mahomes is lurking. Like, you can never, you know, count Mahomes out. I think Joe Burrow is lurking. And if they beat the Bills on that Bills game is on Monday Night Football, and it's week 17. So it would be really fresh in the voters' minds. And I talked about this with Pete. There's a path to the Bengals winding up with the one seed. Like, you know what I mean? Like this month could be crazy. Like that could snap Joe Burrow into the lead. But right now I do think it's Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen kind of going blow for blow. So we'll see, but, it was super impressive.
We'll refuse to lose MVP.
that is the worst thing that Pete has ever said. I will never in my life. That was an episode that Kist was on, too. Like I will never, ever, ever forget the reaction that Kist and I had when he brought that up. That was, so funny. So despite the win, as we segue into the Cowboys now, who are still in second place in the division. So Eagles 11-1, Dallas 9-3, you know, I want to ask about the Christmas Eve game in a little bit, but another flip-flop in terms of DVOA. So 2 weeks ago, Dallas had jumped up to second. Philly had fallen to fourth. Last week, Dallas fell to fourth. Philly jumped up to second. So they flip-flopped back and forth. This week, after week 13, the Bills remain number one in overall team DVOA. The Cowboys back at number two. The Eagles not at fourth. Both teams have climbed above the Ravens, who are now at fourth. So Dallas 2, Philly 3. Again, I mean, really just kind of like hovering right around one another. The Cowboys, it was a little bit tense against the Colts. I know you were worried for me that this was my reckoning. I appreciate everybody who tweeted at me after all the crap I talked about the Colts in the offseason and the regular season. Justifiable crap, I would say. A lot of people thought it was going to blow up in my face the way it did with the Broncos last year. The game that the Cowboys wore the red stripe on their helmet like they did against the Colts. And I was never nervous that they were going to lose. Before the fourth quarter, it felt like, okay, they won't cover, but they've got this game under control, to the point that they're going to cruise to win. But obviously the fourth quarter was insane. I have seen very few things like that fourth quarter. I mean, that was just an explosion. I mean, it was a comedy of errors on the Colts part, and just it was one of those it was like a Steph Curry can't miss fest for the Cowboys in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, if you didn't watch the game at all and you just saw the box score, you'd be like, oh, Cowboys blew out the Colts as expected. They probably dominated them all game long. Wasn't the case. Was not the story of the game. Was closer than expected for a bit early on. But the Cowboys, to their credit, made the Colts quit. And the Colts, to their discredit, clearly quit. Like that, I'm sorry. Like, I don't think both of us don't love getting into players not giving effort or whatever. Because I think for the most part, they really do. And they do try hard. Because, these are their careers. Sure. There's a lot at stake here. But I'm sorry, but that Colts team has quit. Like they have, at least some players have, some members of that organization have. Like you don't lose that badly when you're trying to win. Everyone is very much trying to win as hard as they possibly can. And I'm talking about even from an organizational perspective too. There was thought that they brought in Saturday and got rid of Reich in part to tank or whatever.
I think you the quitting thing happens when you become a joke, like the Broncos. It's not just that you're bad and that you're losing. It's that you are the butt of the joke. Like everyone's making fun of you. Like that's happening with the Broncos, obviously, on a week to week basis. That is this was, I don't really want to give the Colts credit, but somewhat to their credit, the first time that you could kind of release the hounds on them in that way. Right. Because they, beat the Raiders in the first game. And the joke was haha, they actually won a game. And then they played tight with the Eagles. And then they somewhat lost respectably on Monday night against the Steelers last week. So this was the first, I told you, Jeff Saturday, you know what I mean? It was let loose. And to your point, I mean, give credit to I know you did, but give credit to the Cowboys for sensing that blood in the water and going for it. I loved that. I loved that they did not take their foot off the gas. I loved that they punished the Colts in the fourth quarter. They were so relentless. I love that about them.
One of my big takeaways concern-wise is Dak doesn't look right, man. Something about that is not right.
Dude, he is playing at an incredibly high level. He had a sputtery, kind of start to this game.
This game was not called, which was a terrible, I thought it was a terrible no call. I don't think I'm being a homer about that. I legitimately, everyone's it hit the ground. When did it hit the ground? His hand is under the ball. And also, again, the main, there's no good reason for him to throw that.
He's one of the least protected passers right now in the NFL.
The pocket is completely clean.
But so I agree that this was, in terms of his time back, so from the Lions game to now, this was his worst performance, right? And obviously, everything got great again, but he was still incredible. I mean, and he threw a touchdown, touchdowns to Mike. He threw two. That is silly.
Hurts is the best quarterback in this division right now. I mean, that's obvious.
That Dak did not play well on Sunday against the Colts, and that's
scared of him.
Fine and fair to a degree. But to say you're not afraid of him, there's a difference. to say you're 0% afraid of him on a 0 to 100% scale.
I think he's that not is, looked right. I think he's like these. Some of these interceptions are like, who's this guy?
And I don't think you're watching anything because, again, like you can explain away to a degree both interceptions in Green Bay. Obviously, he thought he had a free play on the first interception against the Giants. I mean, again, I'm sitting here telling you he did not play well. This was his worst game since coming back on Sunday against the Colts. But he is playing at an incredibly high level. Like, I think that's Homer of you to not admit that, like, he is to say you're not afraid of him at all. Like, I think it's more than fair to say Dak is playing out of it. He is playing at some of the highest levels that we have ever seen Dak Prescott play.
And he's not the best quarterback in this division. And I think there's a significant margin.
There's
right
a
now.
Difference between, like, that's you can believe him, that Jalen Hurts is, but, like, you can believe that he's not the best and still be afraid of him. Like,
but
that's
I'm not
you,
afraid of
like,
him.
You would have I to play him. Like,
the Eagles quarterback like you, is way better than the Cowboys so quarterback.
That's
right
like
now.
Saying, I'm not afraid of the second best quarterback in the NFL. You know, because I have the best. Like, even if that were true, you would still have to play them. But that's not saying, like, these are different truths. Like, you can believe that one is better.
I don't think he looks scary right now.
I think you're being a bit of a homer there. Like, Dak is playing out of his mind right now. I mean, he was on fire. He's like, again, I wouldn't say on fire in the second half. He was good to very good against the Colts. And again, the defense just exploded in the fourth quarter, which kind of like made the game not a wash, but a weird game nonetheless. He was incredible in the second half against the Giants last week. He was amazing against the Vikings 2 weeks ago. Jalen Hurts had a great game on Sunday. But prior to Sunday, and I'm not like trying to cherry pick, the only quarterbacks I thought they were playing at a higher level than Dak recently were Patrick Mahomes and Tua. Tua obviously did not play well on Sunday, but played the Niners, whatever. Mahomes lost and Hurts played incredibly well. But Dak is playing among the very best quarterbacks in the NFL, right? The highest quarterback play in the NFL, Dak is in that group right now. Mm.
Okay.
Tony Pollard has 5 touchdowns of 30 or more yards this season. That is a record for Dallas Cowboys running backs. No Cowboys running back has ever had 5. There are obviously 5 games left in the season. Zeke looks strong. This is like, I don't want to do the like Zeke Pollard thing, but like, this is the, like, I don't want to say freshest or most fresh, but this is the, for lack of a better word or lack of a more specific word, this is the best I've seen Zeke look in a December since his rookie year. And I'm not saying like he's rookie Zeke. I'm just saying like, By December, there has been a noticeable wear and tear on him every year since then.
Rookie Zeke, if you watch him, is just so much faster. It's so clear. Like, you just see it.
Well, yeah.
Not that it's a shocking revelation, but I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean, last 2 games, he's at 5.12 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. That's on 33 carries. Yeah, I mean, he's been certainly not washed recently, which is how much of that maybe was getting some time off there for a bit.
Well, and splitting the load, obviously, with Pollard the way they have. But, like, obviously, the time off is part of that. I would also say to CeeDee, and again, like, this turns into, like, well, A.J. Brown's better. Like, anytime, like, an Eagles fan sees a tweet about this, like, this game, this was not the best game that CeeDee's ever played. This was not the most production he's ever had. But the way I worded it on our postgame show and in my stock report and on social and stuff was this was the most in control I've ever seen CeeDee Lamb be. Like, this was, I always think about your write up at Bleeding Green Nation the night the Cowboys drafted him. And I remember the subheader where you just wrote in the brackets. Do you remember what you wrote?
No.
The title of the article was like Cowboys draft CeeDee Lamb. And then the subheader in brackets, it said F word, like the letter F then the word word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I think about that all the time. Like on Sunday against the Colts, they got Oklahoma CeeDee. Like that was the dude who they got on Sunday. And like we've seen that guy play quarters or halves or quarters like spread across games. But like from start to finish, he was that dude. And I had never seen him be that guy for an entire game. And so that was really encouraging as well.
I felt like he was kind of like that against the Giants, I guess, on Thanksgiving. I felt like, so maybe, I don't know. I don't know if you disagree with that, but he's stringing games together like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he was bad against the Giants, but like he is evolving. Like he is finally becoming that dude who we have, who, you know, when we were like, oh my gosh, the NFL let CeeDee fall to 17. Like all that hype is like finally meeting its, you know, sort of like moment in this moment. Michael Gallup, I mentioned, caught a touchdown from Dak for the first time this season. He had 1 touchdown on the season, obviously, you know, missed time at the beginning. But prior to Sunday, he caught 2, both from Dak. Jake Ferguson touchdown. Shout out to our friends at DraftKings. Brandon knows why. So whatever. but it was, you know, it had it all. Like, it was, except for Micah Parsons. He was like, that was what I think my biggest takeaway was. They dominated defensively, and Micah had like a normal game. Like, this isn't a huge sample size, but since he's been on the team, since like this has become their identity, they have never destroyed a team defensively without Micah being a part of it. And they did that on Sunday.
It's pretty good for them. I want to get back into the Dak Hurts conversation for a second, because this is something I forgot to bring up in the Eagles section. Was I just trust Jalen Hurts, which is obviously a big evolution. And speaking of evolution, I was going to make a joke about, is CD like CD Zard right now? Like, he evolved to the, you know, third phase, like, of the Pokemon version of CD. Is CD your starter Pokemon? It feels like he comes in as an advanced version. Like, he feels like a second.
So you're saying like day one he was Charmeleon and now he's Charmeleon.
So. Your joke, yeah, because CDs he's are. So good. Yeah, because like, when was he ever really bad? I think Oklahoma, you know, is when CD was Charmander, and now he came into the NFL as Charmeleon, and now he's Charizard.
Yeah, I mean the evolution has been happening.
But back to the Hurts thing at all. I just trust him.
Did you get the new Pokemon for your Switch?
Not yet. I've heard it's good, but at the same time, I've heard it's like buggy and there's been some issues with it.
Right.
I haven't played it yet, so I don't know if that's true. But I will. What's it called? Is it Ruby or whatever? I know. I was a long version.
So I haven't had a Pokemon in a long time, but as I understand, based on TikTok, there are, I think, two versions. There's like Violet and Scarlet. I might be getting them wrong, like the names. So like, I'm going to buy you time because you're clearly searching this.
Yeah, what is this? Scarlet and
I don't know.
Violet. Yeah, you got it. Okay.
Wow. Nice. Okay. So which one are you going to pick?
I don't know yet. I got Sword out of Sword and Shield. I mean, how can you get Shield? Mm. Come on. Did you get Shield?
I told you, I haven't had one since the originals. But my very first one was the red, and then I wound up with blue because I'm an only child. Yeah. Those are the last ones I've had. So
I don't like these.
If I had to pick
how they look, they kind of.
I would pick, if I had to pick off name, I think I'd pick Scarlet. Like, that's a cooler name to me than Violet.
I kind of agree, and I like I think I like purple a lot, but I think I might like Scarlet better than Violet. I don't know. Anyway, I'm looking at both of the Pokemon on the covers, and they just kind of look like, I don't know. They don't look cool to me. They look lame. Anyway, going back to the Dak Hurts thing, I think what I'm trying to say about Dak is, in part, like, I don't fully trust him in terms of, obviously, like, from an Eagles perspective, I never trust him. But like, from an objective watcher standpoint, I just think he's made some out of character plays that make me go like, what's going on here? Like, that's weird. That's not in character. And maybe it's, you know, not a lasting issue. Maybe it'll be fine. It's just a fluke, whatever. But it kind of makes me like wonder, where's the Hurts? I think he's just doing such a great job of taking care of the ball, and I'm not seeing those mistakes. And because what you were just saying about CD is what made me think of this. He has been in so much in control out there, and it's just like making all the right decisions, but not just that, also making like special plays. Like, I just trust him like unequivocally right now, which again is we've come a long way for me to be there with Jalen Hurts, but that's where I am.
So, the best writing and the best like assessment on what I think you're talking about that I have seen has come from Bob Sturm of The Ticket and The Athletic. So if you have an Athletic subscription, you should. BLG mentioned Shiel earlier, former Athletic person, but still, like, The Athletic turns out incredible content. And what Bob has written about is like, Dak has been like a tad overly aggressive, like, versus what we're kind of used to seeing. And so he talked about that a lot in the Packers loss, like how the throws, and granted, you can kind of explain away those interceptions in that game specifically, and place some blame on CD or Dalton Schultz, who were the intended targets for them. But that these are decisions that Dak is like, you know, what are you doing? Like, are you, and Bob hasn't like suggested this. He's just like thought out loud in his writing. Like, are you trying to like prove a point? Mm-hmm. Are you trying to say like, I'm healthy, I can do this? Are you trying to like show off or flex or whatever? Again, not, I don't want to like say that's what Bob is saying, but just kind of pontificated. And so there are some throws that are a little bit more dangerous, and you call them reckless, that we haven't seen. But again, like, they've been so interesting in that they have had these weird explanations. Like, you know, Gallup fell down, or Gallup didn't fight for the one that was intercepted. And you could argue CeeDee fell down on the one that was kind of debatable in this game against the Colts. I mean, against the Giants, you know, he thought he had a free play, right? Like, we can sit here and talk about how stupid that is, but, you know, he thought he had a free play. And so, like, he's a little bit more aggressive in that moment, obviously. So I do agree that there has been some tendency to lean more aggressive. But what I would assume is the mindset is like, be aggressive. You can make those throws, and we have a defense that can support you, right? Like, and so if you know, we trust that we can be that way, and we can score, and we can try these things at will, because we know we can stand back and support you if things don't go your way. That's my assessment. Mm-hmm. But I do agree that there is, I don't want to call it out of character because that makes it sound like it's a bad thing, but there is like a slight deviation from, you know, the younger days of Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I'm just surprised with some of these picks. I'm like, oh, I wasn't really expecting that to happen, but we can move on.
I did want to bring up the Christmas Eve game. Okay. So just because people are kind of like jumping to this conclusion. So I'm looking at 538's quarterback adjusted ELO forecast right now. I'm going to give the Eagles wins over the Giants and the Bears.
Okay.
And I'm going to give the Cowboys wins over the Texans and the Jaguars. So if I do that, the Eagles have it's stabilizing an 89% chance of securing the first round bye, which obviously includes the division. They have a 91% chance of winning the division. There are people, I think, improperly suggesting that the game is meaningless if Philly wins out, because I think that it's just the same. Like, if Dallas wins that, like, hear me out. Like, my point is, like, targeted to Cowboys fans, because if the Cowboys win that game on Christmas Eve, say that's the next Eagles loss. That's the Eagles' second loss of the season. Another Eagles loss still, like, you know what I'm saying, like, accomplishes the end goal, you know, of Dallas winning the division and Philly, you know, obviously not winning the division.
Right.
Like, my point is, like, the Eagles loss that the Cowboys fans need does not have to happen before the Christmas Eve game.
If yeah,
it happens
absolutely.
Afterwards,
yeah,
they it's just
need,
as meaningful.
They just need, all the Cowboys need, really, is the Eagles to trip up in one of these games, and then the Cowboys have to beat the Eagles. That's what the Cowboys realistically need here. Although, you know.
But for what it's worth, so, like I said, I gave both teams wins through that point. Mm-hmm. And at that point, 538 has Philly with a 91% chance to win the division. Even if Philly loses that game, mm-hmm. it drops to an 85% chance, because all they have to do is win one of their final two.
Right. Games. And that would be, you know, what, again, home against the Saints and then home against the Giants.
And then home against the Giants.
So, you know, two home games. But yeah, it would be kind of funny, not like enjoyable, funny, but weird, funny, if the Eagles did win out but lost the Cowboys game, because they'd still get the one seed. And it's like,
right,
how much does that, like, obviously, as a Cowboys fan, you're thrilled. You're like, oh, we beat the Eagles, that's great. But, like, does the excitement only go so far? Like, if the Eagles still get the number one seed?
I guess that's what people's point is. Like, I do think it changes the excitement. I don't think it diminishes it.
Right.
But I do think, and you like to look at things in a funny way like this. Say, I'm Nick Sirianni, right? So, like, I'm a different person, to be very clear. The Eagles win their next two games. Cowboys win their next two games. I think there's some logic. There's a little bit of arrogance involved here, in a good way, to saying, you know what? We don't need to sell out for this Cowboys game, right? Because there's a very strong likelihood that the Cowboys and Eagles are going to meet in the divisional round, regardless of who wins the division, right? Because I think we trust either team as a wild card to win in the wild card round. And I don't think right now we trust the Giants or Seahawks to win their wild card games, which would set up a divisional matchup between the Cowboys and Eagles, right? So if you're Nick Sirianni, is it not at least worth talking about to say, look, let's punt this game? I recognize the risk would be you lose another game and then lose the division and lose the one seed. But, like, my point, like,
risk.
The same way we're talking about, it's a big risk, but, like, the reward is potentially huge.
No,
like, you know, if you're worried about, like, showing something, whatever, tipping something.
I don't think
because
Eagles
you are
that way, though, RJ. Like, the Eagles aren't, like, a team based on,
I don't think any years. NFL team runs that way, but I just
think
it's worth talking about.
Yeah, I think some more than others. I get what you're saying, but I don't think the Eagles are worried about, like, emptying or throwing the kitchen sink at it, I guess is the right way to put it. Because, like, I don't think that's how they work. Like, they kind of have simple things that they do for the most part. They just do them really well. And I think that's what I like about them most. I don't think football has to be like 4D level chess the way people like make it out like it has to be sometimes. It's like, no, you can just have an identity and do it really well and be unstoppable because you have really talented players and you're not overthinking it. Sometimes when you overthink it, that's when you shoot yourselves in the foot until you almost lose to the Colts. That's basically what the Eagles did. They overthought it. They're playing 13 personnel in the first half and like limiting AJ Brown's snaps and targets. Like, that was dumb. And they've since course corrected in a good way. So yeah, I mean, it's a big matchup. It's weird.
It's an interesting line of thought though, because you know, there's not a strong likelihood. No, I realize that, like, you know, the Eagles aren't going to, nobody's going to like not take the game seriously, but it is interesting to think about, like, that game will feel important, but in the grand scheme of things, it won't be, because there will be a much more important game likely happening, you know, just a few weeks down the road. But again, all that changes if the the Giants or Seahawks also win in the wild card round. You don't know how that goes, obviously, with the Jimmy Garoppolo injury, as we mentioned. You talked about how, you know, you don't believe in the Vikings. A lot of people don't believe in the Vikings. I don't think it's impossible or inconceivable for the Seahawks to go beat the Vikings in the wild card round. Sure. I mean, again, just based on the current playoff format. So I agree that you can't, like, base things off of future assumptions. But it is worth, it's worth talking about on a podcast, which is what we're doing right here.
No, I'm not saying we can't talk about it. Two things.
No, you hate the podcast. You hate the show.
I hate the podcast that I do every single week. Two things. Number one, that's why beating the outlook we're talking about here. And by the way, the Eagles can officially clinch a playoff spot, which, I mean, come on, they're 11-1. They're going to make the playoffs at some point by beating or tying the Giants this week in week 14, or if the Seahawks and 49ers both lose, then that would also clinch them a spot, even if the Eagles didn't beat the Giants. So there's that. But this is why the Eagles win over the Titans was so big, because that looked like, okay, they might lose that game. And if they do, that opens the door for that Christmas Eve game to be huge, because if the Cowboys win, they probably are getting the number one seed at that point. So
all hope for Cowboys fans, right, obviously, rests in the Giants this week, who we're about to get to. And I mentioned this with Pete, like, it will require, like, a Justin Fields Super Saiyan game. Like, that's what it will take. Like, for the Bears to, like, show up and win, and, like, it's the NFL, crazy things happen, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there's no way the Bears beat the Eagles, granted that game is in Chicago, without Justin Fields having, like, you know, he'll have to have, like, a 57-yard touchdown. You know, it'll have to be some crazy sequence of events like that. I wanted to say one last thing, and then we'll break.
I said I had two things, and you let me say one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we're trying to get to the other games. Okay,
my second thing is the thing that concerns me most about the second Cowboys matchup is not really, like, anything about the Cowboys right now. It's just about the placement of where the game is. I mean, three straight road games is tough, no matter who the opponent is, even if the Eagles are playing, you know, let's say the Bears. Let's say the Bears and the Cowboys games were flip-flop there. That would still be like, that's tough. Right. That third game, obviously not as scary, but still it'll be like, that's tough. It's just tough to play three games on the road like that.
I don't want to look it up and waste the time. I thought about asking a friend, but I wonder how many, like, I don't know, say the Eagles have played, I don't know, 25 three-game road trips in their history. I'm making that up. But, like, what is their record in the third game of those 25 hypothetical times? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many times? Yeah, like, I'm curious, like, of all three-game road trips they've played, or recent ones, and granted, like, teams change, seasons change, whatever, but I'm curious how any NFL team does. Like, what is an NFL team's average record in a third straight road game, if that makes sense?
So there's an old article on about this on Niners Nation. Shout out to our friends there from Fooch, of all people. This is back in 2017, so it's a while ago. But it was like, over the last 3 years, the team in the third consecutive road game is 13-23 straight up, and 11-23-2 against the spread. You know, if you widen the sample size. So he did over the last 10 years. Again, this is 2017, but 35-69 straight up, a little bit closer against the spread, 46-55-3. So, you know, it's not impossible, but it is a real thing. It's a real disadvantage that is going on.
It's the way we talk about, like, last week, the Cowboys called to rest, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's hard to play multiple road games in a row. Like, and obviously within that, the longer you go on a road trip, the harder it is, whatever. The last thing I wanted to add on the Cowboys front, and we'll probably talk about this next week, assuming the Cowboys beat the Texans. And if they don't, the panic in the streets will be just like all sorts of whatever. But, and to be clear, this isn't like a brag, but I do think it's important. The Cowboys will win their 10th game the next time they win a game, and they're obviously going to win at least one more game. And that this will be the first time since 1995 and 1996 that they have won double-digit games in back-to-back seasons. So again, I'm not saying, like, you know, plan the parade, like, build the statue, like, hang the banner, but this is a franchise that has had a culture of failure. Like, they have not been able to handle success, and that has been their bugaboo. That was literally the bugaboo over the entire Jason Garrett era. There have been two times in that stretch where they have been playoff teams in back-to-back years, but one of the times they were a wild card team with a record, obviously, shy of 10 wins. So I think that Mike McCarthy deserves a lot of credit for that. And like, again, we talk about multiple things can be true. I'm not here to say like he's the best coach in the NFL, but in his third season. So like in three seasons, he has pulled this off. What like the franchise has not been able to do this century. That is impressive. That deserves a round of applause in my mind. And because he won a lot of those games without Dak Prescott, like it was not an easy road for him to do this.
Okay. There you go. I'm sure it'll pay off in the playoffs. Last thing I had about the Eagles game that I forgot to mention, Eagles Cowboys.
We've last thinged a million times.
But this is the real. I mean, I had said I had two things, and then you didn't let me get to the second one.
So this is the third thing.
The third thing. I didn't. There's a secret third thing. It's also a short week game for the Eagles. I know it's only by one day. It's not the biggest deal, but like.
Well, it's a short week game for the Cowboys, too.
But I mean, on the road, which is something that you're not familiar with, having to play on the road on a short week is a significant disadvantage as well. And I'm not trying to even say it's unfair, whatever. The schedule's a schedule. But like, I'm just saying that's the biggest concern. Is it's the third game on the road and it's on a short week. It's only by a day, but still.
Okay. Let's take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back. During the break, Brandon, I told you the results of the Spain-Morocco match. Can you tell everybody what happened?
I don't know.
Morocco won on penalty kicks.
How about my call 3-0. From last week? That like I think
dude, that was sick.
Like, you actually record that before? I'm like, I mean, it wasn't even that crazy of a call. Like 1-0, if you will, is I feel like a pretty.
We really. Score. So we specifically recorded earlier. Mm-hmm. I asked Brandon so that I could. I'm sure you watched too, but like I was the one who mentioned like, "Hey, the USA match is on, whatever." And at the end, you correctly predicted the final score of 1-0. Good job, you.
It's not my Iran tie prediction fell, for the 2020 season, but we'll take it. When I predicted the Eagles would, I was on radio, like you know, like Philadelphia sports radio, and they asked me for my prediction that week. I like the morning show too, which is like a big deal. Nice flex by me. And I was like, they're going to tie. And they did. It was crazy. Anyway.
Wow. So speaking of all the time, I know you see this a bit in Green Nation at Blogging the Boys. Last week, Giants Commanders playing. All right. And we had this conversation at BTB. Who should we be rooting for? You do the rooting guy. We do the rooting guy. It's kind of a staple at SB Nation. Sure. Who should we be rooting for? There's merit to the Commanders winning. There's merit to the Giants winning. My overall takeaway was like, there's no bad loss. I wanted the Giants to win. Just because I wanted like the vibes to be good, obviously heading into this Eagles matchup. So that was my particular logic. Again, I would have been fine had the Commanders won. But you know, a very common response to this is like, I want them to tie. I don't want either team to win. So I want them to tie. It happened. The Commanders and Giants tied a 20 piece. You ever get a 20 piece nugget meal at McDonald's?
Probably at some point. I mean, that would be extremely easy for me to take down.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I could do
like,
that in a
heartbeat. Well, then why is it like a probably thing? Like, if it's easy, like, it sounds like it should be a run-of-the-mill sort of proposition for you.
I could do it. No problem.
What's your sauce that you dunk in
from McDonald's? I don't do this a lot. So you only get one, or do you get multiple? I mean, you could probably...
You get one.
Okay.
The drive-thru asks you for one.
Okay. Probably the buffalo, then.
Sweet and sour for me. We want to hear a lot of your thoughts, mixologist. We want to hear whether you're a Team Scarlet or Team Violet Pokemon player this year. We certainly want to hear your thoughts on Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott. We also want to hear your thoughts on ties and whether you are sweet and sour or barbecue sauce.
Well, I mean, there's other sauces McDonald's too. You get like a ranch, right? Or a barbecue sauce.
Well, but we're talking about the sides of the arguments that we have been on here today. So, but we had a 2020 tie. A lot of jokes, like obviously, jokes, like, what does Taylor Heineke do now? Does he buy one shoe? Like, what does he do?
I was going to make that joke. Like, blah, blah. I'm glad I didn't because that was really bad. Well, you love talking about that, so I thought it would be, you know, good to bring up. He should have to get one shoe. I mean, it's half a win. You have to get half of the pair of shoes.
How do you decide which one to get?
I mean, I would think you want to put your best foot forward in life.
When you step forward, do you
probably right?
I think
foot.
I step forward with my right foot. I've talked about this before. In marching band, you're taught to step forward with your left foot. There's a reason for that. I already forgot what it is.
I know some people that are like right-handed, but they use their left foot for like soccer or whatever. Like that's like their stronger foot.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I really thought Taylor Heinicke played well. I know you didn't get to see a lot of this game at the time because the Eagles were playing. But I thought Heinicke played. I thought Daniel Jones played well. Mm-hmm. Like I thought Daniel Jones played fairly well. But the biggest loser in this game for me is Brian Daboll. Dude settled. He played for the tie at the end of this game,
and
he punted.
And
granted, they did get the ball. Yeah, I was gonna say they did get the ball back. It did kind of work. I don't know how Heinicke didn't fumble after Thibodeau got to him, like right near the end zone. Like it kind of, and that would have been the like, see, I told you, I punted because I trust our defense, and that would have annoyed me. But dude, like that is a big dip in stock for me for Brian Daboll. That is not the guy that we saw early on this season. And like we've said this many times, like you're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Go out and like let it all hang loose. You know what I mean? Like be the team that is stretching and trying and reaching for things. That was some big loser energy from Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I agree. I was reading the recap on Big Blue View and I saw that and I'm like, what? why did he do that? So yeah, that was not a good. I mean, who do you think this was more of a loss for, I guess, right? Or is it, do you think
the Giants?
Yeah, I agree.
I think because they had lost the two games before. I mentioned this on Monday Football Monday and I tweeted it. They are one of three teams in the NFL that has not had a win within their division. The other two are the Bears and the Broncos. I mean, so and you play in this like amazing division and you're supposed to be this amazing, so you're perpetuating the idea that you are this fraud, this paper tiger, like you're cut from the same cloth that the Vikings are type thing. And so like, dude, go out and do it.
And you
like,
were at home. It really was their home game. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that, the other team gets to be on bye this week and then play you at their house. Yeah. Like, dude, you got to go for it. Like I will respect if you lose, but you go down swinging. That was such like, I would feel just a smidge less like, in this way if they had not done that, but like that undoes the good that I feel like they've done for them. Like they've had a really bad three. They lost to the Lions, who have like, you know, shown to be a little bit spunky as of late. They lost to the Cowboys, obviously a very good team, and now to tie with Washington, like just like some dude, no, like come on, Brian Daboll, I feel like Obi-Wan, like you were the chosen one. You were supposed to be different for this Giants team and you have truly regressed.
I will say, you know, just going beyond the result, like what's to take away from this game for the Giants? I mean, they didn't get back to their identity. Like Saquon is still not Saquon that he was earlier this year. He had 18 for 63 for 3.5 yards per carry in this game, long of 21. And then he had just 5 catches for 18 yards, 3.6 per reception. Like he has not been the player he was earlier this season. The Giants were winning and looking more dangerous than they do or have been recently. And that's a big deal. And the fact that so if he got back on track and the Giants tied, I think they'd be like, okay, at least Saquon's back. And like, we feel good about that moving forward. Like what do the Giants have here that they feel really good about moving forward? I don't know. I like Darius Slayton and it's kind of crazy. Like they got lucky that they didn't trade him because there's so much talk that they're going to trade him or cut him or whatever. I think there was talk that they might actually just cut him. Like I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I was reading Big Blue View back in the summer and like he was on the roster bubble and he was like taking like third team reps or whatever. And they're very fortunate that they didn't do that because he looks really good. And all that was like crazy to me at the time. Cause I'm like, man, I remember him like doing damage against the Eagles. He was like roasting Ronald Darby. Like I thought Darius Slayton looked good in the past. He's no Darius Slayton, you know, really good. And certainly that's one thing they have going for them. The only thing really, the receiving core, their pass catcher wise. And obviously their defensive line, you know, is stout here too. You know, Dexter Lawrence is having a great year. And then it looks like Kayvon
Thibodeau had the moment. It was unfortunate he couldn't, you know, pop the ball loose, but still like that's a really cool moment for him.
So they have that.
I will say like to your point, like not only is there nothing like to grab onto, I feel like this gave us like a negative thing to grab onto. Like we didn't have that either. You know what I mean? I just looked because I wanted to make sure. Again, I know you were busy. Do you know the circumstances around the punt? Like the down, the time, where they were?
The Daboll
punt? Do you know any of this? Yes.
No, but I'm looking at the box score right now.
It was 4th and 3. There was a minute and 42 seconds left from the Washington 45.
Oh my God.
You're past the 50, bro. Like, you got to go for this. Like, that is so. And not only did he not punt, he took a delay of game to give him, like, he was, like, strategic about the punt. Like, that is so lame to me. And that's where, like, these teams really are, like, ships passing in the night. Like, where the Giants have, like, nothing to grab onto. When you watch the Commanders, like, yes, they're limited. But, like, you can kind of grab on to Taylor Heinicke. You can certainly grab on to Terry McLaurin. You can certainly grab on to Brian Robinson. Oh, my gosh. Like, they really have found something in him. Like, he is incredible. And, obviously, his story makes him, you know, all the more great.
Gotta tip your hat.
Jahan Dotson. Jahan Dotson. Like, seriously. Oh, nice. Because of the big hat. So, it's a funny joke because tip your hat is also, like, give him credit. Mm-hmm. But it's also a play on the big hat.
Yeah.
From last week. Wow. Jahan Dotson looks great. They still don't have Chase Young. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know if they're going to have, like, Chase Young, bro. Like, that's, I've been meaning to talk about this.
We've dropped two bros. Whoa. We have evolved that, now, but
that is,
look, like, let me finish my analogy, please. I feel like, you ever go to a buffet and there's, like, just nothing. You're like, I guess, you know what I mean? Like,
are you going to?
I'm just saying, like, you ever go and you're like,
no,
you know, it doesn't look great, but, like, okay, fine. Like, I'll put some, like, that's what I feel like the Giants, that's what they are. They're a buffet that's like, I guess, like, you know, fine. Like, and you're just like, well, they have an ice cream
like
machine. So, like, after
buffet.
I eat my food, it's just like whatever. But I do feel like the Commanders are like, oh, I'll take some of this. Like, you know, it's like, I like some of this Terry McLaurin. I like some of this Jahan Dotson. I like some of this Brian Robinson. I mean, like, I even like some of this Ron Rivera. Like, I would have never thought that I would have felt this way. So, like, that's they're just so different in that way. Now, the Giants could come out and beat the Eagles this week and, like, kind of flip the script on us totally and completely. But so in a weird way, like, I guess that's what a tie is. Like, it was like half improvement, half regression. You know what I mean? Like, because we do think highly of this Washington team, and they did, you know, they were in a position to win, you know, technically speaking. They did, you know, if not for Taylor Heinicke holding on that ball, they would have had a walk-off moment, obviously. I mean, you know, I can go both ways, but, man, it was such a bummer. I am glad you called it the Dable punt. That's what that should be called from now.
So the Giants still have to play the Eagles twice. Including this weekend, and then the Vikings,
right.
And then they, as we mentioned, they get the Commanders again. The Commanders coming off of their bye, and the game being at FedEx Field, which is not an amazing home field advantage, but I'm sure will be, you know, better than playing on the road for the Commanders.
Well, this is the most pop that game. By the way, we didn't even mention got flexed to Sunday Night Football.
Why
in over?
We need to see more of that.
Well, it's in over Patriots Raiders. What would you rather watch on Sunday night? So
Patriots Raiders, honestly, but.
But so, like, I do think this is the most juice that a Washington game has had in a while. Like, you know, they're entering with 7 wins as a would-be playoff team. They can rip the hearts out of a division rival and sort of stake their claim in the playoff race. Like, they haven't had a game like this in a long time. So, I mean, it's interesting in that sense.
So, or do we just flip into the Commanders, by the way? Or are we just going to...
Well, we're like both. Morphing because they played and tied one another. Yeah.
So, the Chase Young thing, yeah, I think that's a bad vibes thing. Like, I think it's taking longer than expected, and I don't think that's the case of, like, oh, the Commanders are just being really cautious about this. I think they kind of overshot when he'd be ready to return, because think about it. You know, they opened his window, and then he was never really, like, ready to be activated by the end of it. And then the first game, they kept him out, like, due to illness or whatever. Like, it seems like they're trying to cover for him not being ready. And it seems like there's, I don't know if he had a setback. I'm just speculating or what. Or it's just taking a lot longer than they thought it would. So maybe he gets back at some point and he's fine. But my expectations for him have significantly lowered. Like, I think, you know, we talked about him, like, maybe coming back and having some kind of Bosa Watt impact. Like, no, that's not happening at this rate. I don't think so.
I do think, and this is an off-season discussion we can have, and we can certainly, you know, talk to our friends at Hogs Haven about this, but so he played 15 games his rookie year in 2020 when they won the division, obviously not winning the division this year, but they could be a playoff team. He played 9 games last year before getting hurt. He hasn't played at all. So we're talking about he's played 24 games at this point. Say he does play 4 games, right? Let's just live in, like, made up number. That would be coming back next week. They only have 4 games left. They don't have 5 games left. So say he played them all. So that would be 28 games in 3 years. Do you give him a new deal?
Like, I mean, yes.
You know, do you, like, because he's going to want it, you know what I mean? Like, and he has every right to want it. He should want it. But, like, what, like,
oh,
I,
now
I understand.
No, probably not now. No.
But you, like, he's going to want that. He's going to want that extension next year. I mean, like, it's an awkward thing. You know what I mean? Like, versus, like, like in the offseason, like Herbert's going to get his deal, Burrow's going to get his deal in all likelihood, Tua might get his deal. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to see the class of 2020 start to come along. Maybe CeeDee, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, Jalen Reagor, Justin Jefferson. Right. I mean, well, and I was just talking first round picks, but you're right. Mm-hmm. Like, even more so, Trayvon Diggs. Like, so what do you do with Chase Young? Like, it's an interesting question to answer.
He's only played 2 games against the Eagles ever. Isn't that kind of crazy? He's been in the league 3 years now. But, you know, he missed both of them last year because of how the injury timed out. And then same thing this year.
You saying that, I tweeted about this before. I think he's only played 2 games against the Cowboys.
Okay.
And they only have one remaining. So, I mean, he could get to 3 if he plays. I'm double checking.
So that's
that,
kind of like
he's only played in 2.
Significant too when you're talking about long term, because it's like it's not all his fault, but he has these lack of signature moments in like division games. I guess you can say the week 17 finale when the Eagles were tanking in 2020.
He did play both games against the Cowboys his rookie year,
yes,
and did not play at all last year. So so he's only played 2. He can only get to 3, obviously, mm-hmm. is the point you're making. The Philly games that he played were
week
both,
1 of 20. There's week 1 and week 17 of the 2020 season. The opener and the finale.
Right. And the bookend. So you're talking about his second season in the NFL. Mm-hmm. This isn't like a smush on the Giants or Commanders, but like the division has been dominated by the Cowboys and Eagles for the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years. So his second season in the NFL, he did not play against either of those teams. So he missed 4 of those games. And then the Giants, he has played in 3 games against them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could get to 4. So you're talking about he's played 2 games against the Eagles, right? 2 against the Cowboys, 3 against the Giants. So that's 7. Mm. 7 of a possible, at this point, I don't even know how many, but like it's an incredibly small number.
So 18, right?
So, but how many have they played this year? They still need to play the Giants and the Cowboys. Yeah. So they've played 4. So 16. He's played in 7 of 16 divisional games to this point.
That's a lot to miss.
And it could be 7 of 18.
I think how the rest of this year goes will be relevant. If he doesn't like play at all again this year, if this continues to linger, he doesn't even play, that's obviously you can't sign him at that point. And if he comes back and he's kind of a non-factor, you know, we'll see. There's very much weight, regardless of how the Commanders, like, you know, because they're probably not going to the Super Bowl, but like there's a lot of future, like, kind of decisions to make in that. And that's a big one of them, is to kind of see how he finishes the year. And same thing with the Giants. Like, even if they're not like contenders, it's still very interesting to see what they do down the stretch. Do they collapse? Because again, it's very, very possible that could happen, but we'll see.
I know this point is about, or this conversation is about the Commanders, but I do think this comes back to the Giants. So like, if we forecast, like, who knows what happens the rest of the season, but like the Commanders are a great spot for a quarterback to end up in, right? Like, because if it's not Heinicke, who knows what they do, like whatever happens, blah, blah, blah. But like, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Brian Robinson, and presumably Chase Young back for next season, right? Like a defense that's better. Is a quarterback ready team. The Eagles obviously have Jalen Hurts, but like a very strong position for a quarterback to be in offensively. The Cowboys, a very strong position for a quarterback to be in offensively. We didn't even mention Odell Beckham Jr., by the way. So good for us. But we'll see. Things are still kind of status quo there. But like the Giants are so far behind all of that. You know what I'm saying? Like the other three teams have these casts, you know, and these tools to work with, like the Giants, which is that's also why it's like kind of amazing that they're where they're at now. But they, like, do they have a receiver that like would crack 11 personnel on any team right now? Any of the other three teams?
Slayton is really good, but I think Slayton would.
So like if Odell's on the Cowboys, are you taking Slayton over CeeDee, Odell, or Gallup?
Yes, I am, because like this is a guy who's averaged 13 yard perceptions last year and is coming off this serious injury. I don't know what he's at right now, but anyway, I want to say that sometimes not having those options is good, though, because like in the sort of standpoint of it could be attractive to a free agent who wants like the opportunity, who wants the playing time, you have playing time to offer. And I think the Giants, so here's my point about, and it can change quickly too. Like, you know, like the Eagles had a very bad receiving core last year out of Devontae Smith, freaking Jalen Reagor. They get AJ Brown, that changes everything. But you look at the quarterbacks, talking about, you know, Washington potentially being a good spot. I mean, it could be like Washington and the Giants competing for the same quarterback. How fun would that be? Like trying to, you know, like get the same person to come to their team. I don't know who that would be. I mean, it's Derek Carr. Maybe it's, I would say Jimmy G, but I don't know what's really going to happen with that after the injury. Is there anyone else out there? I don't know.
Free agent quarterbacks. I was pulling this up. Tom Brady will be a free agent. Mm. I mean, if you want to explore all, what about? I mean, like, look, I recognize how stupid this is about to sound. What about Daniel Jones?
Going to Washington?
Like, I mean, like, because is that impossible?
No,
like,
are you
willing to rule that out completely? And I wanted to look at wide receivers, just to kind of like, you know, see who the
CD.
Let me get this quarterbacks up here. What? CD's not a free agent wide receiver.
You're talking about wide receivers, and you said C, so I said CD.
Oh, no. Like, I was saying to see who's a free agent.
CD,
like,
who's a free agent?
Because the Giants would be like, when people like match up like free agents and stuff like that in the offseason, like the Giants would be a popular destination. Nelson Aguilar, DJ Clark, Marvin Jones, Julio Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, if you're, you know, whatever. Are they going to bring back Sterling Shepard? Matt Collins, your boy. It's a tough year. Maybe there's a trade. Like, maybe you get lucky and you kind of find a, you know, another receiver who's discontent with their current situation. But that just seems hard to imagine at this point in time. But
Darnold.
Okay, let's.
Bridgewater is out there. Case Keenum.
Back.
Jacoby.
Let's see. Oh, by the way, so the Morocco match just ended, and Portugal's getting ready to play. Ronaldo not in the starting lineup. Look at that.
Hmm.
I think I just saw a tweet.
Lamar Jackson.
But nice. Okay. We have two games.
Yeah.
Two games happening across the entire division this week because Washington is on bye. And obviously Philly is visiting the Giants where they lost last year. Mm. They lost in New York to the Joe Judge led New York Giants. We'll pick that game second. Cowboys host the Texans. It is their third home game in a row. We talked about the three, you know, road games, whatever. Texans looked awful last week. I mean, they just are the worst team in a very long time.
Yeah.
The Cowboys opened as 16.5 point favorites. That is such a massive line. I understand if you want to take the points because it's a lot of points, but I think we both are very confident the Cowboys get their 10th win of the season.
Yeah, the Titans are really young too. That's like something that I think I was looking at, or at least they play it.
The Texans. You see the Titans.
Sorry. The Texans lead the NFL in like rookie snaps played, I think by a decent margin too. So they're just playing a ton of young guys. So that's part of why they're not good, and they're also inexperienced. So
they want the number one overall pick.
Yeah,
right?
Tanking. They have every reason to want to, you know, lose out and get that number one overall pick, because then they're going to have the pick from the Browns too, which we'll see where that ends up, but should be decent. I will take the Cowboys to win and cover because they've been able to cover the spread. They're like one of the best teams in the league at covering the spread, right?
I recognize all that, and like it makes sense in my mind. It is just still wild, you know what I mean, to say like. Because I don't disagree with you, like that you're comfortable laying 16.5 points.
What are the Texans have going for them? We've said that so many times. Like,
nothing.
You, yeah.
But it's still the NFL. You know what I mean?
But that's like that's the best reason. It's the NFL. Like, I can't. That's not enough for me. I can't just be like it's the NFL. I need a reason.
I agree with you entirely. It is just it's weird. It's not a common thing that happens.
I guess like you could say Damian Pierce could have a big day against the Cowboys defense, which is a little vulnerable to the run, but like I just don't think the game script is going to be able to favor the Texans like that.
The New York Giants are 7-point underdogs.
Yeah,
I don't know what that opened at, but they're 7-point dogs.
It was 6.5
against the. Okay, so very little movement. So I'm going to do the like BLG fence riding thing. I'm going to take the Eagles to win, but the Giants to cover. I recognize. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna change course. Last week was such a dominating force of a win, and the Dable punt is such bad
vibes. Ooh, true.
I will lay the points. But like again, not to ride the fence. My official stance is laying the points. But like I could see it. I mean, it's not like you could totally see a path for the Giants winning this game.
Jalen Hurts had his worst game like ever by far at MetLife last year. 45.2 completion percentage, 124 yards. That's 4.8. Yards per attempt, 0 touchdown, 3 interceptions, 17.5 passer rating. That was really bad. Now he was better in his second game against the Giants. He had over 100 passer rating, and that was in Philly. And he's also a lot better than he was last year when he's throwing to Jalen Reagor at the end of the game. He has AJ Brown now. I think the Eagles should be able to win this game. I feel good about them winning. And the Giants aren't as good as their record indicates. Been saying that all season. They're 16th in point differential, actually at -7. The 21st in DVOA, or at least they were entering last week. I didn't see the update, but I'm sure they're around that again after tying Washington. I don't know. I think Saquon is not himself, and that's a big deal. I will say the only thing that kind of makes me wonder is, you know, it's a division game. We saw what happened in Eagles Commanders.
Sure.
And
Brian Daboll is a thing. Like he's somebody that is, you know, while he punted, he is a thing.
They're tied. The Giants are tied for the best record against the spread this season at 9-3. So, you know, that's pretty good. They're also 7-1 against the spread. I have the records here written, but I can't make sense of what I wrote. So that's a good thing. Underdogs. Wait, that makes sense. Yeah, sorry, as underdogs specifically. They are 7-1 against the spread as underdogs. That was tripping me up. And 5-2-1 straight up when they have not been favored this year. So it's a situation they've been good in. So that's kind of hard for me to totally just say the Eagles are definitely going to crush them. I will take the Eagles to cover, but I think it is going to be like, I don't know, maybe like a 10-point game. Maybe the Eagles like pull away at the last moment and they seal the deal. But I think it's going to be a competitive game.
I will say in no way am I going to sit here and exonerate or justify the punt. But if you had to, like if we were like in a court of law, we had to defend the punt, the idea would be like, look, we're in the playoffs right now, right? Like we're, you know, a tie is better than a loss, right? Like blah, 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 like all the stupid things that people say. And to that point, like I could kind of see like the like energy of that, like, hey guys, look, I know we tied last week and that's really stupid and really upsetting, but like I played for the tie because I believe in us. I believe in us as a playoff team, right? Like, again, like I'm really stretching and reaching here, but like,
I mean, if you would go for it. Hey, no, but I like, even you to win the game.
I agree with that. But like, I'm just saying, like, if I have to create like the path, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the genesis of it. Is like, look, this is why we did this. We're here to hold on because we know we can do this. We know we can. We just got to get there, guys. It doesn't matter how you get in, as long as you get into the tournament. You know, I don't care if we're a 1 seed or we're a 16 seed. We're here. We're gonna pull this thing off. Blah blah blah. Like, again, it's stupid, but like, I could see that being a thing. So, okay, so we both have the Cowboys to win. You talked me into laying the points. I'm laying the points on both Dallas and Philly. You are taking the Giants against the spread though. But the Eagles to win.
No, I said I'll take the Eagles to win and cover.
Oh, I'm sorry. So we're simpatico fully this week. Okay.
I said they'll win by like 10.
Gotcha. I could see that. Like maybe it's like 27-24 late. You know what I mean?
And then
there's just
game,
this like icing sort of touchdown.
Yeah, like a game ceiling touchdown on the board. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anything else you want to say? Do you want to revisit the Scarlet Violet conversation?
Did we not predict the Giants game?
They play the Eagles.
Oh, duh.
So
it was so in my head, like, you know, it's all separate. That was like, wait.
The underdog thing really, really shook you. The Commanders are on by. Also wanted to say, I thought about as Jahan Dotson scored, like, if we had to pick an official college of the NFC East, I think it's Penn State. Right, like, so you've got Micah Parsons, obviously, like, for the Cowboys. Well, hang on. Well, I know you're a big Penn State. What is your classic to we aren't? You got Micah Parsons.
People are gonna get so
mad. You got Micah Parsons on Dallas. You have Saquon, obviously, on the Giants. Jahan Dotson now for the Commanders. You have Miles Sanders, obviously.
I don't know if you know this. He was Saquon's backup at Penn State.
I know I'm overlooked. Connor McGovern went to Penn State for the Cowboys.
Saquon.
I feel like I'm overlooking some. I mentioned Saquon, but I know I'm overlooking somebody. Oh, I was thinking about Chris Godwin on Monday night. But like the Cowboys are kind of fueled. I mean, the Cowboys, the NFC East are kind of fueled by Penn State. Who is another school that comes close to like
Alabama.
Having as much like as? But okay, so Alabama has Trayvon Diggs on the Cowboys. Alabama has
Deron Payne. Is he Alabama?
The whole Washington defensive line.
Jonathan Allen, Jalen Hurts,
right?
Devontae Smith,
Jalen Hurts. You can't claim Alabama for Jalen Hurts. You can't do that.
Like, I mean, okay, Devontae Smith then the Heisman.
Okay, so Devontae Smith.
I mean, and yes, he can. He was there for more often than he was at Oklahoma.
And he got benched in the biggest game of his career.
And then he won
there.
The
so,
championship
I mean,
game, SEC championship game, because Tua got hurt. Who in the Giants?
And then on the Giants?
Wait. Are we missing? We have to be missing someone. I know. So they have the Clemson guys, right? Or Dexter Lawrence.
Right.
But
nobody has Oregon except for Thibodeau and the Giants.
Right? That is obvious. As Andrew Thomas, was he? Where did he play? Not Alabama? Evan Neal, duh. Got him. Boom.
I mean,
counts.
It does count. Like, so they have, like, maybe Alabama's second place, but, like, I do think that Penn State has far more, like, visible players playing, like, much splat. I recognize it. You know,
Evan Neal was Devontae what, Smith. Number four overall pick or whatever it was.
Sure.
Devontae but, Smith was 10. I mean,
but the, like, again, Penn State has the more visible players.
All right. For the off-season podcast.
So I know that that bothers you. So it's so, okay. Everyone, we need you to tweet at us.
I don't care about college football.
We need you to tweet at us. What were the things? Pokemon, Scarlet or Violet. Jalen Hurts or Dak Prescott. There was another one.
The sauces.
And sweet and sour sauce or barbecue sauce.
No.
And then
Buffalo. No, I'm not standing
buffalo,
up for barbecue.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Sweet and sour buffalo. and then whether you think the official college, the official university of the NFC East mixtape is Penn State or Alabama, mm-hmm. based on the like splashiness of
or
representation.
Is there another school?
Oklahoma was the one because you could go Hurts and CD, obviously. They're headliners, but that's kind of it. Sterling Shepard on the Giants. That's kind of it, though. I feel like I'm missing something. But, I mean, we already had the Eagles covered, so.
Just saying. Same Bradford. DeMarco Murray.
That's true. Okay. Let's get out of here. Brandon, as we leave, I would like you to tell us.
I'm just going to ignore whatever you tell me to do. So.
Why? No, I want to come up with something unique, something different. I would like you to tell us the sequence. You're going to watch a movie at home. The sequence of it. Like, do you set the snacks out? Do you get under a blanket? Like, do you start the movie and then like you wait till you get hungry? Or like, are you somebody who likes to set it all up? Like, what's like, take us into the picture.
I can't watch movies. They're too long. But if I'm going to watch a movie for some reason, I think I only go to see movies at the theaters anymore. And that's not too often because I don't watch a lot of movies, but if I'm going to watch one at home, probably, ideally, if this is like the ideal movie setup, I want to get some.
That's what we're looking
some
at.
Some popcorn before the movie. Have a big bowl.
So you're popping it and setting it like on before, the nightstand or nightstand, the table, whatever.
Okay. Sitting on my couch, got the bowl of popcorn, big bowl, regular popcorn. I know you rank the flavors or whatever. Not a sweet popcorn guy. I don't want any kettle corn or caramel. And I don't want
I
any
love
of that.
Kettle corn.
No, none of that.
It is situational. I agree.
Just the regulars. I like the savory. You know. Regular butter popcorn,
sure. And don't be one of those people. Don't throw the M&Ms in.
No,
like that's
Pete
weird to me.
Talked
like,
about that on Monday Football. I can't.
Dude, Pete had a bad end of the show. Yeah,
jeez. But yeah, wow. It looks like that. Very simple. And that's all I've got. Oh, well, that's not true. Righteous Stone Craft Turkey BGN 20 for 20% off your order. Happy holidays.
The great Nelson Mandela stuffer. Flavor is the very best one.
Yeah,
that they have.
You're a pickle guy,
North. I'm normally not, but it's a faint taste, so I'm okay with it. But I really like it.
The Darth garlic,
obviously, great as well.
It's my favorite.
But similar, you know what I mean?
That's the biltong, not the jerky, so it's a little bit more tender than the jerky is. Yeah.
I like the jerky sticks more than the actual jerk.
Okay.
Like if I had to rank
the meat
textures,
tubes. Yeah.
Right. I'd go biltong, meat tubes, like traditional flat, you know, jerky.
The meat tubes are so much better than, I'm not even going to say the name, but of the product you can get at convenience stores, the long stick.
We're righteous
thing.
Felon people.
I'm saying, but like, they're so much better than that. Like, I can't even eat the other thing. Right. I've had it in the past because, like, whatever it was there and someone, like a friend, was sharing it or whatever, but like, no, can't do that. The meat tubes are way better.
Shout out to meat tubes. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Brandon's going to give us two words.
Jalen Hurts is coming for you.